Hello, hello, invasion. Good to be here. Great to be here. Wearing my tuxedo, looking beautiful.
So you gave me some homework last night.
I did.
And I didn't even know this existed. So this was new to me. And it was O.J. Simpson, American Manhunt.
Mm-hmm.
That is on Netflix. Four parts. Man, those episodes are about an hour and 20 each.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It is a commitment, but I powered through it last night.
Yeah.
I watched the whole thing. It is remarkable, some of the access that they have as far as the 911 calls, just some of the recordings from jail, like everything they have. I saw the Made in America. I think that was the name of that. Made in America.
Is that the one with Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Not sure. There's so many different ones out there. I thought this was probably...
That's the People versus O.J. That was not a documentary.
That's right.
Made in America was the ESPN one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was good. But this one was way in depth. Mm-hmm. Now, you can kind of spin any episode how you want or any documentary how you want. And they definitely thought O.J. was guilty the way they made this, the people who made this. Because they did talk about some of the evidence that was not presented that would have been very damning towards O.J. and wasn't presented in court. But it just, I've told you this before and I will say it again on the air. I don't think I'm out of line. It is amazing to me how everything lined up so perfectly for O.J. as far as getting that not guilty verdict, because it was a couple of years after Rodney King and the city was still on edge about that and how it burned after the police officers were found not guilty. And then OJ being black on the outside.
Uh-oh.
Dude, come on. He doesn't even care. He didn't even care about being black. Didn't want it to be acknowledged or anything. And now all of a sudden he's blackety black. When he's on trial, because Johnny Cochran and all the lawyers saw the foot in the door to make this a racial thing. And once you do that, it is easily, you can divide everyone easily with this. Because right when he was being chased, how many white people were going, free OJ, OJ, we love you, we love you, we love you. And then all of a sudden the trial and the race thing happened. And everyone was appalled when it went down. I remember being at KLIF when they said they had a verdict, and I was like, no way.
Yeah, it was like 4 hours later.
That is insane.
Yeah. After, I forget how long the trial was.
I think it was 8 months.
It was a while. For an 8 month trial, you deliberate. You only needed 4 hours to go back over all the testimony and all the evidence.
It was wild just reliving that. Like, I was getting something like nervous stomach watching that and going through that whole thing. Because
so was I, because I think I had kind of forgotten how all encompassing that was culturally, how really and truly, I mean, that captured and just, it absorbed all of our cultural attention and energy was that trial and how big it was.
And all the decisions that were made favored the defense in OJ. Cameras in the courtroom. Speedy trial to where, you know what, if we hurry up and get this done, then the prosecution will make mistakes because the burden of proof is on them. And then the prosecution trying to answer it by getting Chris Darden in there because, hey, we have a black person here too. See, everything's great, dude. It was crazy.
I do love that weird mental gymnastics of the defense team was upset and saying, you know, that, hey, they only have Chris Darden because he's black. And meanwhile, they acknowledge, hey, it's very important that OJ has a representation that represents him.
And OJ calling Chris Darden a token.
Unbelievable.
The most ridiculous thing.
I told you this. I felt so bad for Chris Darden. Not only during that time, what he had to go through, because as he mentions in this documentary, he was hearing it personally.
No question.
During when he was doing his job. That is his job, is to prosecute this case.
And he is being called a sellout because he's doing his job.
Right.
And I think he was set up by the prosecution office also. I do believe that they like, ooh, wait a minute. He's a capable lawyer, but it doesn't hurt that he looks like OJ. So let's put him on there and put that on display also. I thought he was being set up with that.
Yeah, and I guess maybe I don't understand this issue. I'm not seeing it from the right point of view. But what's wrong with choosing a male or female to prosecute a case, or a black or a white person or an Asian person to prosecute a case, the same way that you would choose a defense lawyer? People make intentional choices in those cases. Why can't you make intentional choices prosecutorially?
I don't know. I really don't. And you know what? You have a jury made up of 8 African Americans and other couple mixed. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, you want to have someone that's going to identify with the jury. That's your advantage.
Right.
They took advantage of Mark Furman being who he was and lying. That turned the whole case.
Yeah.
Like, the one person that made the most sense, and it's really crazy because I thought he was being made fun of the most, was Goldman's dad.
I know it.
He made sense throughout the whole thing.
Throughout the whole thing, he did.
But he called it as it was mm-hmm. going.
Yes.
But, you know, the kind of the way he spoke, and then he'd cry, whatever, and then you see all these sketch comedy shows kind of making fun of him.
Yeah. And he's a dad who lost his son. And was saw things, in my opinion, very clearly as yep. to what was going on.
The one
he
thing
saw that he saw that justice for his son had been was so 5th, 6th, 10th down the line between these other issues that are brought up in the case, which is what the case did become, which was a referendum on race in America and how you've had institutions that have done nothing but support racist practices, and the LAPD had a horrible track record up
to
that point.
They kind of brought that on themselves with the way they handled themselves before, but it wasn't
absolutely
about that. It was about the murder of
right.
two people that was totally ignored, and that's the
right.
one thing that I kept going back to as I watched it, because it's some of the same information that you know, but they were put on the back burner so quickly as soon as Mark Furman got up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they weren't even mentioned.
Right.
Ron Goldman.
Yeah,
it was
okay.
just about how he was a racist and how LAPD planted that evidence because Mark Furman said the N-word a whole lot. And then he is so, he was such a bad person to put on the stand. He's so, you
I
just couldn't believe him.
I don't get how. I guess one thing that I didn't realize until watching this documentary again, maybe I'd forgotten it, was that Mark Furman, and for those who don't remember, Mark Furman was one of the detectives that was investigating
first
that
one
night.
On the scene.
Yeah. And he's the one who found the bloody glove at OJ's home that matched the bloody glove that was at the scene of the murders. So he's a very important officer in all of this, but he had sued the LAPD, I guess, to get out of doing his job. Like he said, he had a civil suit that said that he couldn't be an officer because he had such racist views.
I had never heard that.
He brought a lawsuit against the LAPD a few years before the OJ murders, trying to get out of being a police officer because he claimed he was too racist to do his job.
And then he's the first one called
on the
scene.
How are you letting that guy still be on your police force?
And then the lady in the car who saw OJ in the Bronco
mm-hmm.
and was kind of blocking his view, blocking his way before he got in the limo.
Yeah.
She couldn't be called on the stand because she sold her story to some tabloid TV show
right.
or whatever, and they didn't find it credible. And then you put Mark Furman up there, and it blows the whole case.
I know. You know, and going back and watching this again, and I need to read more about it because this has sparked my interest in the case again. It's made me feel like, you know what? I think that the defense did a masterful job. They pulled out all the dirty tricks, and I do think they're dirty tricks. But that's kind of your job as a defense attorney, is to muddy the waters enough to where you can get reasonable doubt. And the prosecution and the investigators had made so many mistakes, careless. I don't think that they were setting him up and had they.
No.
I don't think that they hatched this master cover up plan.
They're not smart enough
to do that. In the first hour after it happened.
Thank you.
How do they know OJ's not speaking in front of 2,000 people right at that very moment? to take all these professional chances of, hey, let's take crime scene evidence from the murder site and plant it at OJ's home. We don't know where he is.
Yeah, let's get this
blood.
I mean,
blood. He may have a total alibi.
Let's get this blood and dot it all over the place.
But we're going to do this because we hate OJ, even though we're friends with OJ and he's come to police events and he knows us. And but we just, I guess the argument was that they were so racist that they just heard that this was OJ, so let's take the chance and take OJ down.
Because you had no clue who did it, but just in case it was somebody black, let's plant this evidence so we can get there no matter who it is.
It doesn't make any sense. But they did violate so many procedures they shouldn't have in investigating. They're not changing their gloves all the time. They're walking without foot coverings in the crime scene.
The blanket even over the body of Nicole Simpson.
That was from inside her house, which could have had OJ's hair on it. They didn't know whether he'd spent the night over there. So that could have cross-contaminated. So that raises reasonable doubt of cross-contamination. And the defense exploited that as well that they should have. So, in me rewatching this, these 4 hours of the documentary, it did make me start to think, well, if I was on that jury, I certainly think that he did it, but I also think that maybe there is reasonable doubt, not that he didn't do it, but that they can't prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt because they have tainted evidence. Because they have evidence that doesn't have the chain of command that it needs, because they brought blood back out to a crime scene. That they had taken from OJ. They just violated so many procedures. And the government's job is you've got to follow your procedures. You've got to do everything by the book to ensure that justice gets done. And when you don't do that, you're going to end up losing cases and guilty people are going to go free. So it can't be one of these cases of you just do whatever you want and I'll just go on a gut feeling as to who's guilty. You've got to maintain procedure.
Hey, it takes you back to that time because I had forgotten that it was almost basically a dog that led to the discovery of the two bodies and the murder victims when the first and it was a dog that led them to it. It was Nicole's dog.
Nicole's dog. Yeah. It was an Akita that was named Cato. It was named after Cato Kalin, who was her friend and who lived with OJ in one of his guest houses. Yeah, that dog alerted the neighbors to the murder scene. And in OJ's book, I Did It, or If I Did It, is what he called it. Fred Goldman, when he got control of that intellectual property as a result of the civil lawsuit, had the cover changed to where If was printed very faintly on the cover. It just says, I Did It by OJ Simpson, which is a good gag by Fred Goldman. He deserves that. But in that book, he describes if he did it, this is how it went down. And even he acknowledges that dog and says that dog, because it was looking at Ron Goldman that night and wagging its tail, he felt like it knew Ron Goldman and was friendly with him. And that sets his jealousy off, saying that she's bringing another guy over here now.
They talked extensively with Goldman's sister. I thought she came off well in this thing. And the agent is...
His sports agent.
That's
too,
an aspect I had never even heard
his
of.
His friend for forever.
This whole time,
and that guy thinks he's guilty too. And
oh man,
and it's a lot, and it's worth watching. And it's such an incredible story. And the thing is, I watch these, and I watch OJ on it, and he is so magnetic and likable to me. The way he can mask himself and be personable and friendly, but I think the guy underneath was just a total psychopath.
And the evil, I thought, showed up when they showed the testimony from the civil suit.
Yeah.
I thought his evilness was on pure display.
Yeah, right.
Right there. Because he didn't testify in the criminal case, of course.
Right.
And he wanted to
plead the fifth there.
That would have been the dumbest move that they made. And they knew that was going to be a dumb move to have him testify.
All right. I know you got to go, but remember the two quotes that you and I have talked about. One is the OJ when he's leaving the scene at Brentwood after they arrest him. After the slow speed chase, you remember it ends up in his driveway and the cops have to negotiate with him, trying to get him to make sure you don't come out of the Bronco with the gun. And they think he's going to kill himself. And the snipers are ready to shoot at him if he comes out with a gun. Imagine that scene if he had been shot by snipers
taken down
right
there on TV because everyone was
executed
watching.
Executed
95
in
million. Yeah. 95 million.
I was one
but
of them.
After they arrest him and he's in the car, and of course all these supporters had shown up at his Rockingham address to support OJ, right? It's the Run OJ Run crowd. And so there's lots of people out there. And OJ, as they're taking him away in the car, he says, go ahead, Donnie.
To the negotiator, he looks over and says,
he's in the middle of the back seat.
What are all these ends doing in Brentwood? As they drive off.
OJ says this to those cops.
And so during the slow speed chase, they're trying to connect with everybody they can. They get his ex-wife, his first wife, who's a sister, on the phone on the news. And I have questions if that was really her or not.
I had those same questions, but they asserted that it was her. And I've read articles saying that it was her.
That
so
it was
I guess
her.
It's been confirmed
and
that it's her. Marguerite.
They said that, what would you like to say to OJ? And she said, run, Ian, run.
On live TV.
On ABC or whatever?
It's while the slow speed chase is going on. Yeah,
dude,
on network television. Yeah.
It was fascinating.
She started off, though, with a, I just want to tell him that we love him and that we support him. And
run, Ian, run!
Jeez, man. I don't remember that at all.
All right, Gordon, put up the signal. I'm really glad you had me watch that, man. That was incredible.
It's such a fascinating case. And, of course, it leads all the way through to his death, so you see old OJ, too.
Right.
Hey, Twitter world.
Hey, Twitter world. Man, it's incredible. A lot of new stuff that I didn't know anything about as it was even all those years later. So, Manhunt. American
yes.
Manhunt.
American Manhunt.
Manhunt, yeah. All right.
Hey, Twitter world.
The new Cowboys catchphrase, is it going to catch on? Next, here, Ticket.
Hey, Twitter world.